This is New Hampshire Public Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. It's called the Cradle of American Shipmaking, the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, created more than 200 years ago by President Thomas Jefferson. Jefferson chose this area on the Piscataquis River in part because of the experience and skill of the local people who've been building ships for a century. And over the shipyard's long history, it played a role in many U.S. conflicts, from the War of 1812 through two World Wars and into the Persian Gulf War. But in the late 1960s, Defense Secretary Robert McNamara recommended the yard for closure. That effort failed, and the shipyard also dodged a bullet in the late 80s when Portsmouth Pease Air Force Base was shut down. Then came the big challenge, 2005, when the Defense Department put Portsmouth on its recommended list of base closures, but an independent commission rejected that advice, calling the facility the gold standard when it came to shipyards. Now, though, another base closure process could be coming, and Seacoast residents are wondering whether they'll need to gear up again to rally for the yard. What's different this time, however? However, extreme pressure to cut federal spending in the face of unprecedented debt and a shift in military priorities. Today in The Exchange, will the shipyard again need to be saved, and should it be saved? Let's hear from you. While keeping the yard open is of strong local interest, is it in the national interest? Just as Pease Air Force Base has been redeveloped, could the shipyard also find a new lease on life if it were closed? Or is the yard a completely different case? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email. exchange@nhpr.org is the address. We have two guests with me in studio, Captain William McDonough, Washington representative for the Seacoast Shipyard Association and former commander of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. And Captain McDonough, it's a pleasure to have you here. Thank you.
Thank you.
Also with us from D.C., Raymond Dubois, senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies. He managed the Base Realignment and Closure Program while serving as deputy undersecretary for defense for installations and environment from 2001 through 2004. And, Ray, good to have you. Thank you also for your time.
Thank you, Laura.
Well, and Ray Dubois, I just want to start with you. In late January, Defense Secretary Leon Panetta started talking about base closures again to what seemed to be the consternation of many in Congress. Why is Panetta bringing this up now?
Well, I think, as you said in your intro, one must view all of our military installations and facilities, shipyards, depots, arsenals, through a lens of national military value, national military interest. It's clear that, as I have said in many occasions, that BRAC is the third rail of defense politics. It is charged politically, it is controversial, certainly on the local level. But I think the fact that the President and the Secretary of Defense are requesting a BRAC authorization during an election year demonstrates just how serious the administration is about reducing the overall costs of maintaining and operating the enterprise we call the Department of Defense.
And there's been a whole lot of news just this morning, Ray, on the Pentagon's new budget and the cuts that it will entail. Is this base closure process, possible base closure process, tied to the defense cuts we've been hearing about, or is it a separate process?
It's both, in the sense that, as I testified to, back in 2005, after the BRAC process at that time concluded, there were still excess capacity across the board in the various areas of the defense physical plant. And I predicted that there would be another BRAC by 2015 because of that. The issue of defense cuts, of which we've already seen $487 billion, cut from the five-year defense plan and the 10-year process. If we go to sequestration, which is another nearly $500 billion, clearly the pressures mount. But notwithstanding that, it's still a case of we have today excess capacity. And I'm really appreciative of this opportunity to talk about the importance of shipyards and the particular importance of Portsmouth Naval Shipyard.
So, and Captain McDonough, I definitely want to get to you too, but when you talked about sequestration, Ray, that's that that debt ceiling deal struck in the summer, right? That
yes.
said if a bipartisan supercommittee couldn't reach agreement on the nation's debt by Thanksgiving, automatic cuts would go into effect. Half of those would be on defense.
That's correct.
So this is tied up in that whole process too.
Well, I don't want to say that because of that, solely because of that, we are now entertaining the notion of another base realignment and closure process. But it certainly cannot do anything but add pressure to do so.
Well, and Captain McDonough, lots of uncertainty as we're hearing from Ray. How are people in New Hampshire and Maine who are so tied to this Portsmouth Naval Shipyard feeling about the possibility of this coming up again?
Well, we feel that the shipyard category in the overall Defense Department has suffered a tremendous reduction. And they've gone from 11 shipyards at the end of World War II to four. And the four are nuclear capable. And the capacity issue of overall Defense Department is understood. Like the Air Force and the Army have different situations than we have. The shipyard is a unique entity in that it could not be reconstituted if it was shut down. There's just no getting around it. And this has been recognized in previous BRAC. Now, I don't know if the Congress is going to authorize the BRAC or not. They've fought Secretary Rumsfeld hard and often until they finally caved in. The BRAC, as part of the reduction of cost, I guess you'd say, is certainly applicable. We feel that our small part of the Defense Department, the submarine force, has already faced significant downsizing, and there is no room for more.
How are people feeling? I mean, again, this is all preliminary, but are people saying, oh boy, we got to gear up again? I mean, John Lynch.
They immediately, when they hear the word BRAC, they go into overdrive.
Yeah.
And,
the third rail.
It'll be a long time before they get around to a BRAC if it's authorized. Now, I know the secretary or the budget was delivered yesterday, and I don't know whether the secretary has made an official request of the Congress to reconstitute the Defense Base Closure and Realignment Act of 1990 as amended and such. There are a lot of steps that have to be undertaken by the Secretary of Defense, the Defense Department, before it gets to a BRAC.
All right.
And a couple of years is the thing.
Let me invite our listeners to join us, and then lots more questions. Our number here on The Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Again, today in The Exchange, we're getting an update on whether there will be another base closure process and the possibility of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard being cut as a part of that process. Join us, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. How do you see the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in the national interest? It's certainly keeping it open is of strong local interest, but does it fit with our national defense strategy? Also, we've seen the Pease Air Force Base was shut down about 15 or 20 years ago. It has been redeveloped. Could the shipyard follow that model, or is it a completely different animal? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. And gentlemen, before we get into the case for or against Portsmouth, Ray Dubois, just back up if you could. You've worked on these base closure processes firsthand. So how does it work? Who comes up with the list and who ultimately decides?
Well, Laura, the process in 2000 that concluded in 2005 was a bit different than the four prior BRACs insofar as while the unique military installations by service, that is to say the departments of the Army, Navy, and Air Force, were managed, the process was managed by the individual military department, we established what we call joint cross-service groups to look at those functions and those facilities that all four services, all three military departments had. We had an industrial group. We had a medical group. We had a training group. This was the first. This was a change in how the process had occurred in the prior four BRACs, and we did that for a specific reason. We wanted to increase the joint approach, the lens through which we made decisions about functions that were cross-service. And I think that the process itself turned out to be much more thorough and methodic by virtue of the fact that we looked at those functions that each of the four services maintained. I do want to make a quick comment, if I might, about Captain McDonough's remarks about the shipyard categories. And there is no question that there are unique aspects of our naval shipyards, to wit, the nuclear aspect, nuclear refueling, et cetera. But it is also important to recognize that while in World War II we had 11 major shipyards owned by the Navy, and we only have four now, we also have seven major shipyards in the United States that are in the private sector. So we essentially have 11 major shipyards wherein most of the work done at those shipyards is for the United States Navy, number one. Number two, as Captain McDonough quite correctly said, the submarine force is downsizing. We are not going to build as many submarines as we have in the past. And so that obviously must have an implication for how many shipyards one needs, but more particularly, where are those shipyards? And I hope we get into the discussion on the strategic realignment that Secretary Panetta and the President announced several weeks ago.
Absolutely, and this shift more towards the Pacific. But Captain McDonough, to you real quick, I mean, just the overall process. Is this a process that the public can trust, that this is going to be well done and it'll be fair?
It will be well done, and I think the public feels it is not fair, that it's politically influenced greatly.
Even though they try to take politics out of it.
But the Defense Department has recognized that there are issues with some bases that if they're closed as a result of a BRAC and then determined that it's needed again, which is called reconstitution, it's virtually impossible in some cases, because in the case of the Navy's nuclear submarine shipyards or nuclear shipyards, they have a nuclear license that has to be in place. They have to have the dry docks, and if you've closed it and they've done something to it, the docks are not available. And this was recognized in the report that was put out by the Defense Department at the end of the process, talking about reconstitution. And we feel that the Navy's four nuclear submarine, or nuclear shipyards, not just submarine, are in the category that if they close these,
You could not get them back together. All right.
And
we will talk more
after a short shipyards.
We'll talk after a short break. I'm sorry to interrupt you there. We'll be right back.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the NEEF Network organizations hosting Destination College, a college planning convention for high school juniors and parents in March. Information at destinationcollege.org. And a Hannah Grimes Business Incubator in Keene, helping entrepreneurs succeed with office space, support services, and educational programming. Details at hannahgrimes.com. More on possible defense cuts in New Hampshire on the exchange on NHPR and at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, President Obama's 2013 budget proposal. New Hampshire weather today, clouding up with high temperatures from 35 in northern New Hampshire, ranging to 45 in southern parts of the state. Tonight, mostly cloudy with lows from 15 to 20 in the north country, ranging to 25 to 30 in southern New Hampshire. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy, highs from 40 north, ranging to 50 in the south. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're looking at the possibility of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard being on a list of base closures. This is a process that may be getting underway. There's a lot of uncertainty, as we've heard. But let's hear from you. What do you make of the possibility that the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard might be shut down, as Pease Air Force Base was years back? Join us, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. The Exchange is now on Facebook. We hope you'll go to our page, join the conversation there. You can join us now with a phone call at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Our guests are Ray Dubois, Senior Advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in D.C., and he was involved in the base closure process from 01 to 04 at the Defense Department. With me in studio, Captain William McDonough, Washington representative for the Seacoast Shipyard Association, former commander of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. And Captain McDonough, just to let you finish up your point before the break there, you seem to be saying if you get rid of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard and then you decide, oops, we need it, you can't put it back together.
That's correct. And also Mr. Dubois' comments about seven other shipyards only two other shipyards in the country are nuclear capable. Newport News, well, now it's Huntington English, and Electric Boat. And they are involved in building the submarines, and they're the only shipyards capable at the present time. So we still are down to the fact that the four Navy yards are unique, and this was recognized by the Defense Department in their report to the President, and I could rattle off the thing. Probably might have been written by Mr. Dubois. His name was prominent in it.
And if we could just sort of step back, though, I mean, Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, its specialty is nuclear submarines. And I'll ask you first, Captain McDonough, but Ray, want to hear from you, too. Many people feel like the threats we face these days are, you know, a dirty bomb from Al-Qaeda, a terrorist threat. How does having this big nuclear sub patrolling the ocean help us deal with those threats?
Well, it provides us with an asset that can't be matched anyplace else in the world. Our submarines are unique. They're capable of remaining undetected off coasts of shipyards and of countries and getting intelligence. In the event of a need, they can fire missiles now. We're talking about increasing the capability of the Virginia class to carry more missiles, because that's the shipyard, the submarines that are being built now. And yes, the Secretary has indicated he might want to slow down the building rate, but they're still building them. And the fact that these ships don't need to be refueled, everybody thinks that means they don't need a shipyard. But the Virginia itself is in the yard right now and has been for all kinds of maintenance and safety checks and upgrading them. Capabilities, and that must go on. It's like airplanes. You can't just ignore them and let them operate indefinitely. They have to be serviced with regularity, and it takes the nuclear shipyards to do that.
What do you think, Ray, about the nature of the threats we face today and how well nuclear submarines, such as those Portsmouth specializes in, fit into that picture?
There's no question that the United States Navy submarine force, Fleet Submarine Force, is preeminent in the world and a fundamental pillar of our national security. The attack submarines, the nuclear weaponized submarines are absolutely critical to our overall force structure in terms of deterring potential enemies from making mistakes. Insofar as how we maintain them, how long their service life is, where we port them, where we repair them, where we refuel them. That's really what we're talking about today. And the question is, as we indicated earlier, with the strategic realignment, to use the president's words, towards the Pacific Rim, one has to ask the question, where should these facilities be? East Coast, West Coast, further out, Honolulu, Guam, with respect to maintaining and supporting our fleet submarine force.
Well, and the Obama administration has released a more Asia-focused defense strategy. But just backing up, Ray, you said we still need nuclear subs to deter potential enemies from making mistakes. Give us a little more on that, because, again, the terrorist scenario seems to be the one everybody's worrying about.
Well, the terrorist scenario, of course, comes in multiple layers and flavors. I view the submarine force in two ways. One, yes, the strategic deterrent force that it is first and foremost. But we are using our submarines in areas that had doctrinally previously not been used. That is to say, in littoral areas. We're also using our submarine force for intelligence gathering purposes. Which actually goes back many, many years, including the time that my father was a commanding officer of a submarine back in the 50s. But I think it's also important to recognize, as Captain McDonough certainly has articulated, that our submarine force is not just a deterrent force. It is also a tactical and operationally important military weapon.
So given, Captain McDonough, to you too, that this administration is getting more Asia-focused, given the rising power of China In that worldview, how does an Atlantic Ocean-based shipyard fit?
Well, we can't pick up the shipyard and move it to the Pacific. But we've been working on ships from the Pacific since my time in the shipyard. It is perfectly normal for a submarine to come all the way back. They can come back through the Panama Canal, or they can come back through under the ice. And the shipyard is planted there and is not going to move. Submarines have to come to it. And, yes, we're moving submarine assets to the Pacific, but the Pacific yards cannot handle all the work. We have a contingent of 400 people from the shipyard in Portsmouth that are working in La Jolla, California, to assist in the fact that they're out there. So that doesn't constitute a problem. It's a fait accompli. We do it all the time.
So you can travel those distances. Oh, it's not that big a deal.
Sure.
Ray, what do you think?
I think, Laura, it's important, just as Captain McDonough said, one, from a business standpoint, and I certainly don't want to talk about the local politics because they are always very charged. But as Captain McDonough said, we have Newport News Shipbuilding in Norfolk, Virginia, Electric Boat, shipbuilding company in Groton, Connecticut. We've got the Huntington Ingalls Shipyard on the Gulf Coast. One at least has to ask the question, how many of these shipyards do we need on the eastern coast or the eastern part of the United States from a business standpoint, a management standpoint?
Let me invite our listeners again to join us at 1-800-892-6477. If you're involved with the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, either as someone who works there or is involved in the shipyard's local economy, join us. What do you think about the prospect that the shipyard could be on the base closure list? Our number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And as we've talked, just as keeping the yard open is of strong local importance, do you think it is in the national interest, or are you more on board with what Ray Dubois is saying, that we may need to look at reducing some of our military capacity, some of our bases and nuclear submarine capacity? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email is exchange@nhpr.org. Again, 1-800-892-6477. You know, to you, I think, Ray, do base closures always save money? I mean, did we save money last time when we did this in 05?
Well, this has always been a bone of contention. And I was quoted in an article this week, as a matter of fact, along with your Senator Kelly Ayotte from New Hampshire, where she questioned the savings issue. I would only refer folks to the fact that the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, does an audit and has done an audit on all five BRACs, and it has stated quite clearly that savings do occur. Now, granted, one must make an investment to close bases and facilities, but savings do occur, and they do occur in, depending upon the installation, anywhere from a 4-to-1 to 5-to-1 savings. And the national interest, or the interest, shall we say, of the taxpayer has to be considered in this calculus in the long term.
What do you think, Captain McDonough? Do base closures save money? Seems like they would on the face of it.
Overall, I'm sure they probably can prove that. However, getting back to the need of the shipyards counting the Ingalls and Newport News and Electric Boat.
The other shipyards.
During the BRAC of 05, we were very scrupulously compared to their in performance, and our performance came out head and shoulders above the others in the work that has to be done.
Gentlemen, I want to go now to D.C. again and talk to Senator Jean Shaheen. She's a Democrat from New Hampshire, a member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. And Senator Shaheen, thanks for being with us.
Well, it's nice to be there. We actually have Secretary Panetta and General Dempsey coming in this morning. The hearing starts right now to talk about their budget for this year, so it will be a great opportunity for me to again raise the concern that we have about starting the BRAC process so soon.
Well, and so we won't take too much of your time because we know you need to go into that on the Armed Services Committee. But picking up on what you just said, you know, another round of base closures, you've said, doesn't make sense for our national defense or our national finances now. Why not?
Well, the 2005 round of BRAC just finished being implemented in the fall of last year. it cost about 50% more than it was anticipated to cost. We haven't yet seen the savings from that. And also, we're bringing two brigades home from Europe. If we need to look at facilities in Europe first before we look at facilities in the U.S. at this point.
So we haven't seen savings yet from that heart-wrenching 05 round?
No, we haven't.
You know, when you talked about the facilities overseas, and certainly everyone would rather go overseas first because it doesn't hurt as home as much at home. But Senator Shaheen, I wonder, you know, there's never a good time for local communities in terms of base closures. Are you just stalling for time here?
No, the fact is the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard is really a critical piece of our national security. What we saw in the last BRAC round when it was taken off the list was the commission agreed with that. They agreed with the fact that its workers are the best in the country at what they do. So I think what we've seen is that this shipyard is important to our national security, and I believe it will continue to pass that test. But I think we need to begin starting now, as I'm sure Captain McDonough has said, with pointing out why the shipyard is so important to the country.
What do you think about the idea that, okay, the local communities want the economic benefits, they want the jobs, they want the spinoff, but who is representing the interest of the taxpayer in this?
Well, again, we right now have four public shipyards open, that's all. The Los Angeles-class subs and the Virginia-class subs, which are the next components of our ocean security, are worked on at the shipyard, and they're very important. And what we saw, again, is that the shipyard is the most efficient in the country. And so it is doing a good job for the taxpayers.
You know, you mentioned the four public shipyards, and Ray Dubois mentioned the seven private yards that are also providing some of these services. So why not just shut them down or not give them contracts anymore, the private ones?
Well, I think what we've seen is that our national defense is a critical balance of making sure that the private sector is contributing to security, and that we also have a public sector that's doing that as well, because we don't know exactly what's going to happen in the private sector. So I think the combination that we've seen in recent years is one that's worked well, and we need to continue to support our public yards.
What other defense cuts would you recommend, Senator Shaheen, if closing down shipyards is not the way to go?
Well, under the $1 trillion cut that we made last July, we're going to see over the next 10 years about $500 billion in cuts to our Department of Defense. Just at the end of last year, when we discovered we needed to make additional cuts, the Armed Services Committee made over $20 billion more in cuts. So I think we are on a course to make those cuts to our national defense. I think we need to do it in a way that preserves what's critical to defend this country and continues to support a robust private sector that can help contribute to our country's national security.
Well, and those cuts that involve not shutting down bases but do involve cutting programs will have an effect on New Hampshire. BAE Systems, a major employer, and also a major military contractor. So I just wonder about, Senator Shaheen, the notion of shared sacrifice. You know, if we're all on board with cutting the debt, something's got to go.
Well, that's right. And I think what we've seen in the proposed cuts from the Department of Defense shows that there is an effort to share the burden of that, but still maintain a strong, very strong military, men and women in uniform, and the support that they're going to need to protect this country.
Well, Senator Shaheen, I know you have to go and hear from Defense Secretary Panetta, so I won't keep you any longer. Thank you so much.
Sure. Good to be with you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's Senator Jean Shaheen, Democratic U.S. Senator from New Hampshire, and as she told us, member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. Our number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And Captain McDonough, Ray Dubois, a couple questions out of what Senator Shaheen told us. Captain McDonough, what about her call for, hey, look overseas first. Don't shut down these U.S.-based military bases.
That certainly that's appropriate. The question I have right now is, has the Secretary requested the Congress to resurrect the Defense Base Closure and Realignment Act and authorize another round of closures? I don't think it's happened yet. It may be the meeting that she's going to, it'll be it. And we've got to keep in mind that there's an awful lot to the Defense Department besides submarines and submarine yards. The Air Force and the Army are probably going to take a lot of hits. We feel in the submarine, in the shipyard business, we've done our share, and we should be excluded. And we think that there's provision in the law, if it's resurrected as the last one was, for eliminating from consideration and putting everybody to the expense of going through the big fight. It cost us an awful lot of money to battle the last time to prove the what we knew to begin with.
You know, this idea of we should be excluded. Stepping back, though, you know, just as a taxpayer, as a regular American and not someone long involved with the shipyard, you know, everybody's going to need to take a hit if we are going to tackle this debt issue. So I wonder if that's really fair to say, you know, we should be excluded.
I think it's fair because we've already cut down to the point where we need it. We are going to continue to have submarines. Secretary has indicated the aircraft carriers and the submarines are prime parts of our forthcoming time. So save money by leaving us alone.
All right, and real quick going into the break, but to you too, Ray Dubois, and what Senator Shaheen said, let's look overseas first.
Well, there's no question. I wrote an op-ed piece just last week very strongly recommending that the Secretary of Defense do a global posture and basing strategic review, as Secretary Rumsfeld did in 2002. And that is a critical precursor to doing a domestic BRAC.
So you think that this is a good way to go first,
yes,
before we even go into this whole painful process?
Yeah, we have 700 bases still. Now, some of them are quite small. We still have 700, count them, bases overseas. And quite frankly, you can move an Army brigade from Fort Bragg to Kuwait City as quickly as you can from Ramstein Air Force Base in Germany. The question is, do you have the prepositioned equipment in the right places? And this is where the Navy and the Army and the Air Force, quite frankly, can work very carefully together in planning for such contingencies.
All right. We will talk more after a short break and take your calls at 1-800-892-6477.
What is love? Baby, don't hurt. Today on Word of Mouth, comedian Paula Poundstone on politics, Valentine's Day, and her personal transformation from cynic to mother.
You know, I would say, geez, if they had, you know, flights that were like, you know, babies or no babies, like the way they used to do smoking and non-smoking, you know, I would stay in town an extra day. Cut to me now. I love babies.
I'm Virginia Prescott, today at noon and again at 9 on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members Improm Capital Well Clean Water Center since 1986. Well drilling and service for all of New Hampshire. Capital Well Clean Water Center, Lancaster, Dunbarton, and at capitalwell.com. And from McGowan Fine Art, inspiring passionate collectors with contemporary regional art for over 30 years, on the web at McGowanFineArt.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow in The Exchange, a look at the mortgage market and efforts to help homeowners and hold banks accountable. Email us your thoughts before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning live at 9. Today in The Exchange, will defense cuts hit home in the Granite State? As a national conversation begins over military base closures, we're looking at the possibility of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard being cut, the potential ramifications if it is closed. Let's hear from you. 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. If you're involved with the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard in any way, whether you work directly there or see some of the economic spinoff effects, let's hear from you. Also looking more broadly in terms of the national interest, our military needs in the future, and our budgetary needs, how does Portsmouth fit into that? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. The email exchange at nhpr.org. And a couple more questions for you, gentlemen, before we go to the phones. And Ray, we also heard from Senator Shaheen that we haven't seen the savings yet from that 05 base closure process. You said earlier, I think, that there has been some savings. Clear that up for us.
Yeah, I think that all one has to do is to study carefully the GAO audit. Certainly in some cases, in some bases, in some places, we are already realizing savings. Now, there is the calculation for savings has been questioned in terms of the pieces that go into it. But what we are facing is if we do not close some of these bases, we will never realize any savings. The savings are granted not immediate. They are longer term. And it must be recognized that those savings do hit the bottom line of the defense budget. They may not hit it in year 5 or 6 or 7, but they begin to hit it in 8, 9, 10, and then forever. Those costs are never brought to the bottom line. They are removed from the defense budget. I think it's also important, and I want to say this, I'm not advising any state or any base, so I have no dog in the fight here. And I will say this, however, I've stated this. What we really need to do, and I've implied this in my previous remarks, is look at all the shipyards in the United States. In fact, were the Congress to ask my opinion, I would say, and perhaps Captain McDonough might or might not agree with me, take the shipyards out of the BRAC process and put them under a national commission to assess and evaluate how many shipyards do we need in this country for purposes of national security and national defense. Look at both the private and public shipyards and see them as a integrated whole and decide how many private shipyards, how many public shipyards do we need. I can almost guarantee you, should the Congress authorize a BRAC, that a shipyard will be closed. The question is, which one? And the question is, as has been articulated by Captain McDonough quite clearly and importantly, efficiency and performance is extremely important, but one must also view the location of the shipyard, especially as the strategic realignment takes place, and one must also look at the overall military value from a national perspective, vice a local perspective.
Captain McDonough, do you want to jump in there real quick, and then we'll go to our listeners?
I think that the same story that always prevailed. Portsmouth cannot handle things like an aircraft carrier physically, so that it's always been a candidate for closure. And going back generations, we have seen that. And the only reason that we're still there is because we've been performing well and beating out the competition. And we believe that we can do that again. Now, if Mr. Dubois is correct in that a shipyard has got to be closed, we're in trouble, because you're not going to close Pearl Harbor. You're not going to close Puget Sound, which works on the big missile boats. And you're not going to close Norfolk Naval Shipyard, because it's located in the base. We have to continue to perform, to outperform all the others, which we feel we can do, have done, and will do. And that it's in the nation's best interest to keep our shipyard functioning.
I've got some emails I want to share with you, and you're welcome to join us by phone as well, 1-800-892-6477. Here's one from Dennis in Barrington. He says, the former Soviet submarine fleet lies as rusted, scuttled hulks on the sea floor. Just what are the potential targets of the attack-class submarines serviced by the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard? Can you address that, Captain McDonough?
The an example is the first Gulf War. The first shots fired in that war were missiles from submarines. That's the answer to the question.
Portsmouth Naval submarines?
If I might interrupt here, I think the question was about attack-class submarines. And I would submit that our attack-class submarines are extremely valuable. If for no other reason, let's take the most recent, shall we say, commentary, if not threat, from Tehran to close the Straits of Hormuz. Those attack submarines would be very valuable in ensuring that that vital waterway stays open.
Well, and Dennis, thanks for the call. Did you want to jump in there again, Captain McDonough?
Those attack submarines are what we specialize in, working on.
Here's another email. This is from Arnie, who quotes the New York Times, January 6th, the article saying, as a source of job creation, military spending is not particularly good, said Robert Pollan, an economist at the University of Massachusetts. You can argue for the benefits in geopolitical terms, but if we're talking about the jobs and the economy, it doesn't make sense. Going on to say, while reducing the Pentagon's budget would cause considerable economic pain, research suggests it would be less painful than cutting other types of government spending, like education or transportation. This is the big picture, Ray Dubois. I mean, again, it hurts locally, but in the big picture, this article, at least, is making the case that we do cut military bases and military spending.
Well, of course we will. I think the reference there that military spending can be justified on a national geopolitical basis, I would stop right there. Of course it can be justified on a national geopolitical basis. The first and foremost responsibility of any government is to keep its people alive and free, especially our government. And the notion that military spending or the payroll, the employment factor, is less valuable to our national GDP than, say, Procter & Gamble or General Motors or something, that can be debated by economists until the cows come home. The fact of the matter remains we need a robust industrial base to support our national security.
Although, how often do those economic consequences cloud our decision-making, Ray?
In what sense are you saying cloud the...
Well, you know, we say, okay, it's important for national security, but then we realize that there are a lot of jobs and economic benefits involved, too. So maybe we think it's more important to national security just because there is an economic cost. Does that cloud our judgment, I'm wondering?
Well, I would say that the types, and certainly Captain McDonough knows this, the 4,500 or 5,000 employees at Portsmouth Naval Shipyard are highly skilled, highly trained, highly valuable folks. Now, could they be employed in other sectors of our manufacturing area in the United States? Certainly. But the fact is, only the United States military, the United States Navy in this case, construct, build, maintain, and repair nuclear submarines.
Do you want to jump in, Captain McDonough?
That's true, and just two private shipyards are capable of that at this time.
Let's take a call, and this is David in Manchester. Hi, David. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Thank you for having me. I'm a retired naval officer, and one of the things I just like to bring up to put perspective on the discussion is while we focus on the economic benefits or possible benefits from eliminating certain installations, one of the things the BRAC Commission seems to have forgotten in this discussion in general is the idea of dispersal of forces as being an important part of the concept of having a strong and robust defense. In the Northeast, for instance, there has been probably the greatest impact to the elimination of bases than any other part of the country. We've lost Loring, we've lost Plattsburgh, we've lost Rome, we've lost Pease, Fort Devens, Brunswick Naval Air Station, which wasn't originally on the BRAC Commission list 5 years ago, ended up being closed. The DoD didn't want it closed. And now the Northeast is absent of any type of active duty air base, as well as any type of truly ground forces base. And so those considerations really need to be focused on when you think about how you disperse your forces, in what capacities in terms of not just personnel, but the ability to have bases that can support the needs of the national defense, because it is geographically based. And so I just wanted to offer that.
And I appreciate the point, David. Actually, let me ask you a question, not on your key point, which we will address, but I'm wondering, you seem to be saying New England and the Northeast have taken a big hit. There's been a lot written about the declining clout of New England in Congress. I wonder if this is emblematic of that.
It is. Well, and I think it's probably the biggest example is the most recent closure of the Brunswick Naval Air Station.
In Maine. Mm-hmm.
In Maine, that was the last air base north of New Jersey. Air base, period, be it Air Force, be it Navy, active duty. There's a small reserve base left in Massachusetts. That's it. There nothing left. And it just perplexed me because the DOD wanted to maintain.
Oh, and David, we just lost him mid-sentence, and I do apologize for that, David. Thank you for calling in. What do you think, Captain McDonough? New England's already been hard hit. Don't hit us again.
Mm-hmm. That's a fact. We have been hard
hit. Is that a fact? We've taken it on the chops harder than other regions?
I can't say that, but, you know, Lorraine Air Force Base, there also Dow at Bangor was closed a long time ago, Plattsburgh. The planes that were serviced by Brunswick patrol the North Atlantic, so the infinite wisdom of the people in power moved it, the planes to Jacksonville. They don't know how to de-ice a plane in Jacksonville. But the Northeast has certainly taken its hit.
What do you think, Ray?
Well, it is true. On the question or the comment about dispersal of forces, that is very important. And in fact, Secretary Rumsfeld, one of his primary guiding principles to me was to lessen the concentration of military assets in any particular place. Make sure that we looked at the nation, and it's not just the lower 48, by the way, the nation writ large, and where we have our military assets, both human equipment and facilities. The Northeast, one can argue, has received more base closures pound for pound than the other parts of the country. But I think it's important to recognize we do have an extremely large country. And although this issue of where we have active duty, and this is what your caller was talking about, not reserve or guard bases, but active duty installations, we have to be very careful about where we close or realign those active duty installations in order not to create a divide, if you will, between society writ large and our military community. If that divide becomes larger, and it is, and it has become larger, I think that is a detriment to our country.
Let's take another call. This is Kathy in Aetna. Hi, Kathy. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have two questions here. One is, even though this is an economic thing, this is also our protection. I do want the base to stay open, just to say that. And I am really concerned with the escalation of war and threats to the United States at the present time, that this cutting back and cutting back and cutting back of our military is going to leave us in a weakened space. And the other part is that I'm really curious about where the turnover is. If we need to cut back so much, I'm still wondering why we're not taxing way up top and keeping our military strong.
Well, Kathy, and this is certainly going to be a discussion in the general election, so thanks for calling in. Captain McDonough, what do you think?
I have no comment on what she said. It's certainly something that has to be considered, and the electorate has it. But as far as dispersal of forces, we ought to do something about not having all our aircraft carriers in Norfolk Naval Base.
Yeah, and what do you think, Ray? Boy, Kathy's call is emblematic of the conversation we're going to have in the general election, isn't it?
It's certainly certainly the case.
How much do we need?
The issue of international threats to our country, to our interests around the world, versus how deeply do we cut our defense budget. The issue, of course, of taxes, and I would submit that we need tax reform, but I'll leave that to the politicians. I think her first comment, though, deserves a comment, and that is the economic issues versus, and I'll refer to it as military value, national military value. In no case did we close or realign a base because it was a purely dollars and cents budgetary exercise. In the final analysis, the most important aspect of our recommendations to the commission were, where does the military value of facility or installation A versus installation B versus installation C, where does that calculus come out? And I will say that it is both objective and subjective, as Captain McDonough knows.
Sure. So you're saying, you know, you understand the economics, but when you sit down to do these base closure processes, you really do look at it in a strategic way? What's best to protect the country?
You have to. And Captain McDonough pointed out an issue that you folks up there in New Hampshire and in Maine are going to have to consider again, because, as was pointed out, Portsmouth Naval Shipyard was on the list, on the chopping block, three different times. And the question is, the shipyard, notwithstanding its terrific history and contributions to the United States military and our national defense, it is not equipped to handle certain types of ships.
So what's next, Ray, in this process?
Well, as I said, I would like to see the Congress authorize a national commission on shipbuilding. But absent that, I believe the Congress will adopt and will authorize the executive branch to undergo a BRAC. And the shipyards, the four public shipyards, Pearl Harbor, Puget Sound, Portsmouth Naval Shipyard, Norfolk Naval Shipyard, are going to be under the microscope. And as Captain McDonough, however, points out correctly, it will be an issue of performance. It'll be an issue of capability and capacity. It'll be an issue of efficiency. It'll also be an issue of location.
Well, and Ray Dubois, I want to thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And Captain McDonough, thank you very much for coming in.
You're welcome.
That's Captain William McDonough, Washington representative for the Seacoast Shipyard Association, former commander of the Portsmouth Naval Shipyard. Ray Dubois is a senior advisor at the Center for Strategic and International Studies in D.C. He managed the Base Realignment and Closure Program while serving as a deputy undersecretary of defense. The Exchange is a production of NHPR. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our intern is Ryan Lassard. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.